The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle from CSN Chicago, joined by former Blackhawks defenseman. You see him all the time. CSN's pre- and post-game festivities, in-between periods. He's the one and only Steve Conroy. Steve, thanks for joining us on the Hawks Talk Podcast.
Pat, always a pleasure. Good to be here.
We're talking to you just before you make your way to the California portion of the trip. We finished up Canada. The Blackhawks go 2-2. Bookending it with a couple of shutout losses in Winnipeg and then a 5-0 defeat on Monday night against the Edmonton Oilers. All in all, can you take a few things away here from the first four games of this trip?
Well, you know, I think a couple of constants, at least one constant, has been the goaltending. You know, aside from that, the loss in Edmonton, Corey Crawford, the first to admit he did not have a very good game. But you look at the other three games, and even the loss in Winnipeg, goaltending was very good. Scotty Darling goes into Vancouver. You know, he's down 3-0 after two periods and ends up winning that hockey game. I think that's been a strength of the Blackhawks all year long. And, you know, another strength has been, you know, scoring from the go-to guys, whether it's Marian Hossa, Patrick Kane. Still, relatively speaking, racking up points. I know he's in the top five in point scoring in the NHL. So, you know, those guys doing the job. And then, you know, not so much against Edmonton, but certainly in Vancouver and even in Calgary, the young guns. Vinny Hinostroza and Ryan Hartman. Those guys starting to feel like they belong in the NHL and starting to play with some confidence and certainly showing. Even in the Edmonton game, they got shut out. But they had a couple of really good looks, good pressure by that line, and you know you can see it coming together. Those guys played together in Rockford last year, and you can see the chemistry, and I think you're going to continue to see that as this season goes on.
You can make a case that at times the younger players, the rookies, have outplayed some of the veterans from the forward perspective. Does that surprise you?
Well, you know, a little bit, but you know, keep in mind these guys, I know they haven't found homes yet, so they're still staying in hotels here in Chicago. So, you know, they're on kind of a short leash, and they realize that. You know, they have a 2, 3, 4 bad games in a row. Rockford's not a very far drive for them to be playing in the minors. So, they're playing with youthful enthusiasm, and that's great to see. And you know, we shouldn't mention Gustav Forsling too on the back end because, you know, defense, one of the toughest positions to break into coming into the NHL, and he has made a seamless transition, looked very good back there along with Michael Kempney. But, you know, as far as the forwards go, you know, Joel Quenneville has the luxury of having a few extra healthy bodies around now, and, you know, I think that's motivation for those guys. And, you know, they can't afford to have bad games, and they really haven't. I mean, even guys who are getting pulled out of the lineup, Dennis Rasmussen against the Edmonton Oilers did not play bad his last game against Vancouver, and yet he's a healthy scratch. So
Hartman pulled after the Montreal game, the first game to start the trip in Winnipeg. We were all surprised that, you know, he was a healthy scratch for that one. He bounced back in the second game and played great.
It's amazing what kind of a motivator that is. It's almost like, you know, a carrot dangling out in front of you. You realize if you're not, you know, bringing your best, having your best game, you might be riding the pines the next. So, you know, it's something, and it's a tough position for Joel Quenneville too, because, you know, there are times he's going to be sitting a guy who has not had a bad game. And, you know, the last thing you want to do, especially with young guys, is shake their confidence. But from what we've seen so far, whether it was Ryan Hartman, Vinny Hinostroza, when they have come back, they have not really suffered any kind of setback.
Let's talk special teams. We've had a graphic that we've put on Blackhawks pregame live and postgame live that shows the October and November production from both the power play and the penalty kill. And they've kind of they've been inverted, where right. It was a rough start for the PK in October. It has been really good as of late, the PK, although they allow two power play tallies, and you could kind of say a third because Edmonton's power play was just expiring in the mm-hmm. and the Blackhawks penalty killer or fifth man was not back in the play. The penalty kill against Edmonton, was that more a product of what they were doing versus what the Blackhawks PK unit was not able to do?
Yeah, I think it was more what Edmonton was doing. And, you know, we were both surprised. Edmonton 0 for 15 coming into this game with a man advantage because they moved the puck very efficiently, very well. They had some really good looks. And when you have guys like, you know, Connor McDavid and Milan Lucic and Jordan Eberle, you know, guys like that who have skill and can find the open man, you know, I'm surprised they were dry. I think they went 4 or 5 games without a power play goal. So, you know, tonight I think everything went right for them. Corey wasn't at his best. The penalty killers, I heard Joel Quenneville talking after the game, maybe some of those guys not in the correct shooting lanes. He was using some guys who don't get a lot of penalty killing time. So we'll just write this off to a bad game. And, you know, you can't afford to be doing that when you go into a place like San Jose, because with Joe Thornton, Brent Burns, they have got, you know, an excellent power play. And you take, and it's something we should mention too, and you pointed it out, were the bad penalties. The quality of the penalties were not very good for the Blackhawks. They were penalties that could have been avoided. And, you know, when you're killing 5-6 penalties a game, that's going to end up, you know, biting you in the butt.
As for the Blackhawks power play, it started off pretty nicely in October. It hit some a bit of a cold spell in November. And just on this trip, you know, you look back, they go 0-for-2 against Edmonton, but they had 7 shots on goal and some really quality looks in the Oilers game. In the game that they won in overtime against Vancouver, Panarin got his goal to start the third period just as a power play was expiring. But we've seen even, like, you know, in that game, they allow their 4th shorty of the season. So take us through what you've seen from the power play. I know they've been putting Duncan Keith in that high slot area at times. And what you've seen and what maybe changes are possible to get that unit more consistent.
Well, you know, you look at what Edmonton's power play did tonight to the Blackhawks, and it was puck movement, and then it was bodies in front of the net. And I think that's one thing the power play, especially lately, has been lacking. Our bodies in front of the net. And you mentioned that goal Panarin scored. It was just after a power play expired, but that was just great puck movement. It wasn't traffic. He had an open net, and he found the pass from Kane. So I think any successful power play, you've got one, maybe two bodies in front, and you've got shots, and you're finding rebounds, and that hasn't been happening. I mean, they did have 7 shots on that power play against the Edmonton Oilers in that second period, but there weren't a lot of bodies hanging around in front of the net. It was kind of clean saves by Talbot.
Well, yeah, and you think about it, Anisimov on that jam play, the stuff play, you know, he's the only one there for the rebound. You know, if you see your teammate wheel and go to the take it to the paint, you should crash because there's going to be probably some loose change around. Mm-hmm. When Duncan Keith had his quality opportunity in the slot, you know, there just wasn't enough fannies and faces, that quality traffic to make, in this case, Cam Talbot's life difficult.
Here's the thing on the power play. When you put one guy there, it's not just one guy screening the goalie. Their defenseman kind of has to respect you. So now you got two bodies there. If you've got two bodies there, the other defenseman's going to come. Now you got 4 bodies standing in front of their goaltender. Makes his job a lot more difficult. So, you know, I think the Blackhawks, especially on the power play, making the life of the goaltender a lot easier by staying to the outside and making those passes, you know, diagonally through the box, that looks great on TV. And every once in a while they'll score. But, you know, you want to start getting those greasy goals. You need 1 and 2 guys hanging around the blue paint and a scramble and somebody jumping on a loose puck. And you know, I think that's where Andrew Shaw really showed his worth to the team. Was, I know he wasn't the biggest guy in the world, but he was always within 3-4 feet of that blue paint when they had the man advantage.
One thing that we've talked a little bit about is, you know, Kane and Toews being together. And obviously on this road trip, they've hit a bit of a dry patch. the thing that's hard to see at times is when you see the chemistry that Kane and Panarin have and possess, it doesn't come along very often. You can't ignore it. And when 5-on-5, like in, you know, the first and fourth game of this 7-game road trip, that they don't have any goals at all in the game, I'm surprised we're not seeing, you know, go nuclear. Put at least get those two out there. If you want them out there with Taves, fine. If you want to reunite Anisimov as well, sure. But I, you know, other than just at the end of a penalty kill, I'd like to see it more.
You know, I got to agree with you, Pat. You know, here's the best line from the NHL last year. They led all lines in point scoring, and we're talking about Anisimov, Kane, and Panarin. And they were together early this year. They were fantastic. Now, you know, Joel Quenneville, I think, wanted to get Jonathan Taves going, so he moves Patrick Kane up there. I don't think that experiment's worked. What it did accomplish, though, was it got Marian Hossa, I mean, red hot. We had 10 goals in 12 games, so... I mean, I think now maybe Joel can move Marian Hossa up with Jonathan Taves now, move Kane back, so you reunite the number one line from last year. You've got a guy who's red hot in Marian Hossa, and the million-dollar question still remains, you know, who do you plug into that left side? And I thought Nick Schmaltz was fine. You know, he's doing a great job. He's just not generating an awful lot offensively. You know, maybe Tyler Mott gets another look there. I don't think Richard Panik, because he's playing so well with Hinostroza and Hartman, I mean, that's a solid third line. You want to keep those guys together. So, you know, maybe it's Tyler Mott's opportunity to get a look on that number one line, and you see Jonathan Taves there, and you see Marian Hossa, and you see what happens. But I totally agree. I think, you know, you got to get Kane back with Anisimov and Panarin. They're the best line in the NHL last year. They might have been the best line in the NHL early this year, and then they got broken up.
And we're not going to make excuses here, but this is a reality, and you know, talking to Patrick Sharp last year, it really crystallized it for me. You know, from his perspective, he was watching how other teams play the Blackhawks. And he'd say, you know, it would amaze him how Columbus would play the Blackhawks on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And you would see the Jackets' best effort. And then they would play Dallas, you know, 3-4 nights later. And he would marvel at how different the level of play was. And on this Western, you know, trip through Canada, it's like, you know, Patrick Laine is like, I can't wait to take on the guys that I've grown up watching. Connor McDavid, I'm really looking forward to my first game. I mean, that is a reality. And the reality is the Blackhawks don't get an off night. There's not a night where someone just shows up, grabs their sticks on the ice and goes. You know, they're getting pretty much everybody's A-minus game, B-plus on any given night. And that's tough to always, you know, maintain that or go up against that every night, is it not?
Well, yeah, over 82 games it certainly is. I mean, they've set the standard. And, you know, everyone, you know, again, early this year, I think maybe some people were questioning with all the new faces, were the Blackhawks going to be as strong as they were, you know, last year in 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. And all of a sudden, they're leading the Western Conference, and people are like, they're for real. So, you know, they've set the standard, and it's a high bar, and everyone is bringing their best game. And, you know, I did the game in Winnipeg, and I watched the Winnipeg Jets play, and I thought, these guys are world beaters. It's unbelievable. And then I just checked the paper. The 3 games since they played the Blackhawks, they've lost all 3. And they went into Philadelphia, and they lost. They went to Carolina, and they lost there. Not a very strong team, so... you're absolutely right. They've got targets on their backs because they've been the best for, you know, the last 7 to 8 years, or among the best, and they're getting the best from the opposition, and I think that's what we've seen of late.
Chicago Bears Pro Bowl linebacker Lance Briggs is making his return to CSN Chicago this season. Briggs and host Pat Boyle dissect from the Bears' previous game and look ahead to the next. Don't miss the Lance Briggs Show, Tuesdays at 11 p.m. on CSN Chicago.
Find all of our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcasts. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow at CSN Blackhawks, where every episode is posted, along with all of your daily Hawks Talk News and Stories, Tracy Myers, our CSNChicago.com Blackhawks insider, is with the Blackhawks every step of the way. And if you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Blackhawks on the go no matter where you are within the continental United States. Stream every single CSN Blackhawks game live online at CSNChicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day. David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities. Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle with former Blackhawk defenseman and analyst with CSN, Steve Conroy. Steve, now the circus trip shifts to California. It starts on Wednesday when they take on the San Jose Sharks. Currently in a wild card spot right now. Your thoughts on the Sharks?
Well, here's a team that kind of surprised me last year, Pat. They made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I think the knock on San Jose was they just couldn't get to the next level. And last year they did, and yes, they had a new coach in Pete DeBoer, and I think what really helped them was their new goalie, Martin Jones. Guy who at times stood on his head and really helped them take them to the next level. So, you know, so many weapons you have to watch out for. The captain, Joe Pavelski. I'm a big fan of Brent Burns. I know he's kind of a Dustin Byfuglien type defenseman. You don't know whether he's playing forward or defense. He's just always up on the play. He's high risk.
He is high risk because we saw that in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, for as much as he brings offensively, he is a liability. You'll see an odd man rush or two when he's out there.
Absolutely. And that being said, I think the forwards know when he's out there too, so they're quick to cover for him. They know that he's going to have the green light. He's going to be joining the play, so they make sure that one of those guys is going to be back. So, yeah, it should be fun seeing San Jose. And, you know, all these California teams kind of cut out of the same cloth, aren't they? They're big, they're heavy, they're physical. It's always tough when you make that trek through California.
You know, one thing I thought that stood, I thought San Jose ran out of gas in the Stanley Cup final against Pittsburgh. And we saw, you know, how speed ultimately got the Penguins past them. I think their trek to the Stanley Cup final, you know, we said that, like, it's hard to really prepare yourself when you've never gone through a deep, deep run. It looked like the longer series that led up to the Stanley Cup final took its toll on them.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, even when the St. Louis Blues knocked off the Blackhawks in the first round in seven games, I thought, well, that team's going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. And then they had a tough seven-game series. I forget who they played the next series. And then they met up at San Jose, and that went seven games, too. So I think you're right, though. San Jose ran out of steam. There was a couple of minor injuries that they had that I'm sure they weren't playing at 100%. You know, and that always ruins your chances when you're talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You'll be with the team in California. Rocky Wirtz will have a Thanksgiving meal for the team on Thursday, and then they'll play an afternoon affair against the Ducks at the Pond, and we'll have that game for you on CSN. And then it's the Saturday night tilt against the LA Kings. Your thoughts on both the Ducks and the Kings?
Well, the Ducks, you know, an interesting team. Always picked as favorites to maybe win the Stanley Cup, at least to come out of the Western Conference, and they never do. And, of course, they change coaches in the offseason. Randy Carlyle, who has coached in Anaheim before, finds himself back there. And, you know, lately they've been playing pretty well. I think they're, you know, they'd won three in a row before they lost to the LA Kings just a night ago. So, you know, the story there is always the same. It's Corey Perry, it's Ryan Getzlaff. And now their number one guy, John Gibson, and I guess he's having a half-decent year.
And so, you know, the Hawks finish up the Canadian portion of the circus trip with a loss against the Oilers. If you take a look at the, you know, the first four games of this seven-game trek, I think you'd say, you know, Marian Hossa has been certainly noticeable. Mm-hmm. Young guys have stepped up. But probably some of the veterans, like a Jonathan Toews, a Patrick Kane, want to make sure that their presence is felt to finish this road trip in California.
I think so, too. And I think Joel Quenneville's going to be looking to those guys. And whether he mixes up the lines or maybe changes a few things around, they got to get those guys going. And, I mean, Patrick Kane's still picking up his points. But when you look at it, you know, it's on the power play. It's when he's out there with Artemi Panarin or Artem Anisimov. So, You know, you get that number one guy, line going with Jonathan Toews, and then you've got two really lethal threats. So, you know, I think that's probably something Joel's going to have to worry about through this California trip is how do we get Jonathan Toews going?
Enjoy yourself with the family in California. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you when you get back to the West Side next week.
Thanks, Pat.
That'll do it for this edition of the Hawks Talk podcast. Find all our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcast. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow at CSN Blackhawks, where every single episode is posted, along with all of your daily Hawks Talk news and stories. Again, that'll do it for the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. So long, everyone.